was nice working with you, difficult sometimes, tense in some moments, but we enjoy it all the time. I always tell people that somebody who taught me something about politics much earlier in life said, never fight the media and never fight the church. Those are old institutions in society. I'm keeping to that. I don't have time to fight the media and fight the church. I don't have that time. Even when people drag us through the mud, we stand up and go on. The run-up to this conference was particularly difficult. We saw many things that have happened to all individual people who are standing for elections. And I always remind the people that, you know, history has this tendency of repeating itself. You know, when Verwoerd was assassinated in parliament, his second in command was Ben Schoeman. Ben Schoeman never became the successor. And he didn't become the successor because the securocrats dated him, discredited him, and he gave up the contest. And they gave us P.J. Foster. And that's where we were. And I saw signs of those dirty tricks as we're coming to this conference on everyone who was contending and contesting any position. And we said, that is what politics is all about. We're happy to be here. We presented our last organizational report yesterday. That organizational report gave the incoming NEC feedback on every issue and where we stand on any issue. But central to the message was that if the ANC is flat-footed on any issue, it leaves a vacuum for the leadership of society. The ANC must be able to express a view on everything. It doesn't matter how painful it is. And in the plenary, went through all the difficult issues that we're confronted with, whether it was the Nkandla case, whether it was the public protector's report, whether it was the Concord judgment, you can think of it, the current debate on state capture. We said on all these issues, the ANC must take firm decisions and provide leadership to society. If the ANC is in doubt, society runs out of leadership and everybody can howl and lead the society to any direction. And that was the essence of that report. We did analysis of all our provinces, and the main task remaining is to ensure that we do go back to provinces, strengthen them. If a number of provinces come to a conference with court cases and judgments, you must know that something is not well. There's going to be a volume of work in the jurisprudence about the ANC. It is not well for the ANC. We looked into our subcommittees. Many of them work well. That is where the bulk of the work of the ANC happened. And basically, that was it. As I said, the main purpose today was to say to you, thank you very much. Goodbye. Farewell. I'm not going to be Secretary General in a few hours. Actually, when I step out of that conference, I will be unemployed. If you want an editor, I'm available. There you are.
Thank you very much, outgoing SC. It sounds like a fairy tale that we meet today and the SC is bowing out. On behalf of myself and my team, SC, I would like to thank you. It's the last time I share this platform with you.
Will you be fired as well?
No, with the Secretary General of the ANC called Gwede. There can never be another Gwede. There's only one Gwede in the ANC.
That's true.
I really want to appreciate the time we spent together.
There's only one Gwede anywhere. You never came across anybody called Gwede. The only Gwede I know is myself. There's only one Gwede.
There were difficult moments. There were times where I also thought that Gwede himself has thrown hands in the air. I would call him and ask Gwede, SC, what do we do? He says, just say anything, Zizi. By that time, I will know that SC Naye is like Utiniwe. SC, what do I say? Because I consult him on many things. SC is difficult. What do I say? Just say anything. I will miss those moments, Comrade SC. Thank you very much. Questions? You are now allowed questions. I know people who are very close to Clement. No, before that, where is Mahlatsi? Can we start with you?
SG, I mean, what was your message in terms of your assessment right now and looking on to the 2019 elections? What were you saying to the delegates in terms of the chances of the ANC? And secondly, did you have any concrete things that you said about the relationship that must be there between the president and the NEC going forward?
Clement, are you crossing live now? Oh, okay.
SG, thanks. You spoke about how this conference must take decisions and provide leadership, and you're mentioning state capture and Gandla. To what extent did those affect the organization? Can you please let us in on that? And SG, I imagine it must be frustrating acknowledging the impact of state capture, yet you have got the president of the ANC who denies the existence of this. Thanks.
Just pass it to Jan. People will really remember SG for everything.
Can I say?
Yes.
Jan Lange from Report. I think the judgments of the Constitutional Court about the powers and the obligations of MPs have possibly changed the balance of power or the relationship between the ANC caucus in Parliament and the NEC, which is traditionally the highest authority in the ANC when this conference is not sitting. Do you think that, how do you see this going forward? Is there a need to reconfigure the position of the caucus within the ANC structures?
Hajra, I know you're going to ask about Zimbabwe. No, he's going to ask about Zimbabwe.
How many questions?
That's the last one.
Questions does Hajra have? She may ask four.
Just ask one.
She may ask, how many Hajra?
Thank you, SG. Hajra Omadri from Power 987. The office for over 10 years.
Exactly 10 years.
And we've read parts of your organizational report. We've had many conversations with you over the last few years. A lot of your experiences as Secretary General were shared by the former Secretary General, Kgalema Motlanthe. So what is your advice to the incoming Secretary General on how to fix the ANC to ensure its survival going forward? And are you concerned that if your organizational reports go unsolved, like the former organizational reports went ignored to some degree, that the ANC may not survive for very much longer as a governing party? Thanks.
Please answer those, SG.
The 2019 elections, you always ask this question, what are the chances of the ANC? And actually, it's quite a strange question. Let me tell you how strange it is. It's because you want us to come to you and say, the ANC is finished now, it disappears, in 2019 it will not be around. I don't know how to expect that. The reason that we call National General Council, we convene, policy conference, we come to the National Conference, all those are efforts to re-strengthen the organization. Where we have lost ground, we want to regain the lost ground. Now, anybody who asks us the question, what are the chances in 2019? Actually, is that we're working for regaining the lost ground. As we saw in the local government elections, we want to regain that. We don't want to be relegated into a rural party. We want to regain the metros and want to be a strong ANC. So anybody who asks the question whether 2019 you have doubts or not, we can't have doubts about 2019. We must work hard to win them well and increase our support, improve from where we were in the 2016 elections. In other words, in the theme of the organizational report was that the ANC has a duty to recover a new growth trajectory. And if it doesn't recover that, there will be problems going forward. Like any other organization, every organization, it doesn't matter what organization, grows, peaks, matures, and when it matures, it stagnates and it declines. If it doesn't have a new growth trajectory to kickstart new growth, it actually declines to disappearance. And we're aware of that. We're looking into it all the time. We talk about it. We're not hanging our hands in the air to say, come the end of life, let's finish ourselves off. That is not what we're doing. We want a better ANC because a better ANC is good for the country. You know, I looked into preparation of this conference. Even investors talk about this conference with the hope that there will be this outcome, the rand strengthens. When it goes the other way, the rand weakens. It means that the ANC is recognized as a trailblazer and a leader of society. And we must not take that for granted. We must continue earning it. That's what we said. Relation between the president and the ANC, I don't know. What should that be? The president is the president of the ANC. He's elected in a conference here together with the ANC. The people who are elected separately are the officials. Six officials are elected first, then the rest of the ANC. And it is that top six plus the remainder of the ANC plus ex-official members that constitute the National Executive Committee of the ANC. Now, when you say what is the relationship, it's a different matter. What is important is for the ANC to tighten the way it relates to the government. It elects and deploys.
It changes minds.
And it must be comfortable.
Raises expectations.
Relating to those people.
Wins elections.
Concept of
topples governments,
being the strategic center of power,
shapes futures,
and that's what we should definitely
drives do. Public outrage,
myself, the task of actually putting content,
ends wars,
boosts
morale,
and
shatters perceptions.
News.
Powerful stuff.
Power is about.
Make sure you get yours from the right source.
Exercise on your behalf. Once power is overly centralized, it becomes dangerous to the incumbent. Once you allow people around you to exercise power on your behalf, it becomes quite exciting to lead. But all the time, leadership is not just about science and profession, it is also about art. And the art is about the personality of the individual. And that you cannot send anybody to school to change the personality. It is in the person, himself or herself. And that's it. The Nkandla issue and the state capture, and you are making a number of allegations there. All we are saying is that anything that happens in government when the ANC is leading impacts directly on the ANC. Whether the ANC is part of it or not, if we say we're not part of it, we wash our hands, we do that at our own peril. Anything that happens in government, if departments don't manage a project in Nkandla, that will impact on us. And it becomes an issue that depends on the narrative if we are not generous with information and be able to break down the Nkandla expenditure. Because all of you develop a narrative that says so much amount on the homestead. I can tell you that that money can be broken down. So much on the homestead, 71 million on the homestead, the rest is outside and around the homestead. But in the narrative, there's no such a breakdown. It impacts on the ANC. It impacts on the ANC. And when we came back there, we said The main issue about that project is not aware that the residence of the president should be upgraded. That's not the issue. The issue is inflation of prices, and therefore that translates into losing the state coffers. And that is the issue that we said day one. We continue saying that. We are saying it is the ANC that is the responsibility to engage with that issue. On the state capture, we have a debate. That issue, I can tell you now, and we confirm that in the conference, is that it's one debate that continues to divide us, because and we said it divides us, but it imposes a responsibility on the leadership of the ANC to engage in that debate, find a common, coherent, and a cohesive response to it, because it's facing us. It is there. We can hide our head and say it does not exist. It exists. It is debated by society. The ANC cannot be seen to be flat-footed on the matter, and that is the responsibility facing the new leadership of the ANC. Judgments, that is your observation now, Jan. You state it as a fact that judgments tilted the balance of forces between the caucus and the NEC. I'm sure you think that Jackson is a chief whip. What you forget is that he's a member of the NEC and a member of the National Working Committee of the ANC. So there can be no tilting of balance between caucus and the NEC. There's no such a thing, because NEC members are in parliament. They are deployed in different roles, and they play those roles. And therefore, when you say it is, therefore must reconfigure the relationship, the ANC deploy cadres to parliament. That is the primary deployment. When they arrive there, they are given different responsibilities. Others become ministers, deputy ministers, speakers, deputy speakers, chief whip, and whips of committees and chairs of committees. That is a responsibility given to people deployed in parliament by the ANC. So there can be no reconfiguration of the relationship between the caucus and the ANC. That's why the issue of a debate that was artificial, in my view, of conscience, for your conscience, party line must be ignored, was a mischievous debate, actually. Very mischievous, because you want to constitute the ANC into a gathering of free agents. There's no such an organization that allows itself to be a gathering of free agents who follow their conscience. Otherwise, we must have no conference, we must have no NEC, we must have no strategic decision. That debate was a mischievous debate. You don't counterpose conscience and revolutionary morality to consciousness. You don't do it. Consciousness, conscience, and revolutionary morality guide every individual cadre. But at the end of the day, the party structures take decisions, and those decisions must guide the line of action for its cadres. And that is the issue. So, reconfiguration of the relationship, I don't know how that is, of the ANC reconfiguring relationship with itself. It doesn't work that way. Because it is cadres of the movement. If Jackson says something, don't isolate him from the ANC and say, Jackson this, and therefore the NEC this. Jackson is a member of the NEC, is a member of the National Working Committee, is a chief whip of the majority party in parliament. And that's it. And when we introduced the concept of an activist parliament, everybody laughed at us. What is this thing of an activist parliament? An activist parliament, you see it on how it handled this SABC case. You see it when it is handling the ESCOM case. You are going to see more and more of it. Lastly, experiences. In my report, when you get it, you're going to see that there's an area that is dedicated to the SGO. It's the first time we had that. That is a handover report to the new SG. Here are the advices. Remain accessible to members. Allow them to shout at you. Allow them to insult you. Allow them to say many things about you. But allow them to access you if you're SG. If you are not accessible and responsive, you will kill the organization. That's the advice I gave. And I said, don't prepare to be an institution. You never pretend to be an institution. You are the Secretary General of the African National Congress. There is no institution called Secretary General. Secretary General is Secretary General of the NEC, of the ANC. That's why you report regularly in writing to the NWC, to the NEC. And the incoming secretary must remember that. And another advice I gave him is that you must get your feet quickly on the ground in terms of your relationship with the journalists. I advised him, talk to journalists. Others are going to irritate you. If you are getting angry, they're going to provoke you deliberately. Avoid being angry. And the other advice I gave the incoming secretary, I said, if a journalist writes something that is wrong, pick up a phone or him. Hey, hello, what is this on your paper? Yeah? I know many of you have heard that. Yeah? Many of you have heard that. Yeah? How are you? Eight? Where did you get this? It's wrong. These are the facts. Why do you write a story without balancing it? That is your responsibility. Chase them, engage them. Don't run away and disappear in front of journalists. Talk to them. And that was the advice I gave, and I will continue giving him that advice. Don't be angry, don't be angry. But phone them if they report something that is out of place and they are wrong.
And you see where Makinana? Adrian Bazon?
Ayo.
Winston? Yes. No, there's a mic here.
Now, wait. A BBC must be given a chance. You give way to the BBC.
Thank you. SG, when you look back, what was the lowest moment in this period for you, and what was the highest? And what's the most memorable thing that President Zuma has said to you or you've said to him?
Thank you. Now, I'm sure we are expecting an address there. Not a question.
Thanks, Zizi. SG, as a parting shot, you know, I watched you with keen interest yesterday.
There is no parting shot. I'm coming back.
I watched you at that hall when we were let in, and you read the rule book of the party in terms of the nomination process. And very strangely, or should I say interestingly, I saw a very senior party member of the ANC right after you standing up and saying, this is a conference of delegates, and this conference will not defy these delegates. Is unity still possible in this party, Secretary General? And what would be your advice to the new leadership coming through, particularly the president, in trying to unite this party? Thanks.
SG's Govan Whittles from the Mail and Guardian. I'm over here, sir.
Where is
that? On your left. Where is Matuma?
No, he deployed me here. It's fine.
Oh, okay. Proceed.
Okay, SG, the question on the organizational report, following the 2016 elections, the assessment of how the provinces performed, especially in the Eastern Cape and Gauteng, was done. And I wanted to know how much, what was your assessment of the ANC's election machinery in the organizational report heading to the 2019 elections, and whether the alliance was a setback. And then you released a diagnostic report in which you described increasing levels of ill discipline, deterioration of political consciousness, and a bad state of the party in its provinces. How much responsibility do you take personally as Secretary General for the increasing ill discipline and the state of the branches and the tension between the different provinces?
That's Governor Gay. Your hand was up many times.
Personally, and with colleagues, put a lot of effort into trying to, particularly in the run-up, and in some try to deal with issues like that arise from factionalism in terms of the gatekeeping and the way that you've structured the registration process and so on for delegates. Can you just reflect on that, whether you feel in terms of slave politics in particular, whether you, what you feel about these efforts, have they gained traction within the organization? Have you seen the impact of these efforts playing out in the processes of this conference? And what needs to be done for
I'm going to give you another round as a bonus. Yes, it's a bonus. It's my last official briefing of the media. This is looking at me, I said, no, it's not. It's, I've mandated. I've mandated. I'm giving you another round, you see. So, what is wrong?
No, President. It's a bit in the carpet and I
keep him. Is it? You know, when you work in an organization like the ANC, one of the most futile exercises is to try to isolate the lowest moments and the highest moments. Because it's an exercise in futility, in the sense that the work that is done in the ANC has the capacity of cancelling itself out. At one point I was working in Eskom board. Another thing I learned there was something called commodity price linked electricity prices. I don't know if you have ever heard of that concept. If you are in chrome, when the price of chrome is up, you pay higher price of electricity. When the price of chrome comes down, you are paying less for electricity. Working in the ANC is like that. Okay, you do well, the next moment you do so bad that you feel like you are the most useless person. The next time you pick it up, and therefore, an exercise of lowest moments and highest moments is actually immaterial. Now, you want us to tell you the confidential exchanges between myself and President Zuma. We could as well call the press briefing and exchange those things. Because as you work, it's not a personal relationship, it's a professional relation. So you try to keep it at that level, because if you don't keep it at that level, you are likely to commit more serious mistakes in trying to appease one another at a personal level. So I think your questions, let's park them for now. Rules of the of elections, where is it called? Oh, my great deal. Okay. And then a senior member come out, is it called? We're in a conference, one of the responsibilities of the conference is to elect leadership. Now, one of the things that you can do when you want to correct the last few votes is to be populist. Okay? It's populist. It's not a question of division. It's populism that is intended to win three or four additional votes to what you already have. That's how I interpreted that reaction yesterday. That's all, and I kept it at that. I relegated it to populism that is actual opportunistic trying to gain immediate votes, quick. And it happens when you go to the elections. But the reality of the matter that we're discussing is whether delegates should go to the voting station with a list. When they were saying that is what should happen, I resigned myself to say, we don't like slates, but we promote them. Okay. I can't live with my conscience when sitting in a conference of the ANC. I take a decision that branches, delegates must go with a list to the voting station and only vote for what is in the list. That is slate politics in action. I hope that the majority of delegates will not do that. They will go to the voting station, go through the ballot paper, vote for comrades that they think will add value and contribute positively to the ANC. So that debate is not closed, it will continue, but the correct part and the good part of it is the fact that it is a debate that was opened and debated openly in a plenary of delegates, so that as they go back, it will continue. It's a debate that must never be closed, because slate politics weaken an organization. Slate politics marginalize good activists. Slate politics make the organization have a narrow pool to fit for leadership. And my own view is that I believe in that. If a person come out and shouted that and say delegates, what they don't understand is that conference is the decision-making body. It's not about the constitution. It is itself a creature of the constitution. So if you undermine provisions of the constitution because you think you have an instant power given to you by being in a conference, you are committing a mistake. You are going to commit many problems and the organization to run into trouble. Assessment of the provinces and the performance in the local government elections. Many people, because we lost PE, always list Eastern Cape up there. I don't know how many of you know that in terms of performance, the Eastern Cape had the smallest decline, following a marginal increase in KZN, and the smallest decline was in the Eastern Cape. So PE doesn't make it Eastern Cape. It's PE, we lost PE. The Eastern Cape performed well overall. Actually, there were provinces that lost 15%, 13%, and above 10%. The few of them, Eastern Cape didn't lose that. So when you exchange Eastern Cape and Gauteng because of the metros, I know that you are not giving us an analysis, you are giving us an opinion. And I give you the right to have an opinion on things, but it is not an analysis. We lost PE, we did other thing. We did better in other areas. We have Gauteng, we lost metros. That's where I see a big threat, which I mentioned when I said we can't afford an ANC that becomes a rural party. That talks to the heart of the economy, Gauteng. Because if we decline in Gauteng, we are going to be relegated into a rural party. We can't afford that. Simple. The diagnostic report, how much personal responsibility do I take? When I'm serving in a team, I also take personal responsibility for anything and any failure that happens in that team. Because every leader who gets into a collective brings personal attributes to the collective. Now, if there are problems, you have a responsibility, because your personal attribute as an individual should have helped you contribute more in the performance of that collective. So I take that part of the responsibility. Trying to deal with the factionalism and the electoral process, you would see in the process that we've done this time around, we did everything to undo factions. I don't say we've eliminated them. Very strong sign, bad habits die hard, but we've done many things that are actually unique and protect the organization. We're hoping that out of this exercise, the ANC will come out better. The bonus round, Zizi.
Carol?
Hi, thanks. It's Carol Payton from Business Day. SG, there is a conference resolution which says that those who take the ANC to court over internal matters should be, I think, expelled from the party. That obviously hasn't happened. What is the conference's feeling on that now, and what is the way forward on that issue? Thanks.
Shahan?
SG Shahan from ENCA, I have two short questions for you. Who has been your biggest challenge within the party?
Come again.
Who has been your biggest challenge within the party, SK?
My biggest challenge?
Yes.
A person?
Yes, a person. Not a thing. Not a scandal, not the journalists, but who? Because you've worked with so many people.
I think you have an answer to that question. I
and
can see.
And has President Jacob Zuma managed to inspire you at all during his tenure?
To
inspire you at all? Ngalo? There's a mic here, right in front.
SG, it's Busiso Ngalo from the Daily Dispatch. I think this question was asked by Mahlatsi and Milton, but you've done well to avoid it.
Daily Dispatch?
Yeah, where?
Press 51.
Yes, I watch 51. Now, SG, but my question is, I mean, you've been frank in terms of talking about the breakdown of your relationship with President Zuma. In your interview with the City Press, you spoke about how you now only meet in official meetings of the ANC, but there was a time when you had access to him. What I want to find out is that at what point did it deteriorate? But more importantly, to what extent did that affect the functioning or the work of the ANC officials extending to the NWC and the NEC? But also, Ngwati, I think you've said this is your last press briefing, so be frank. What would your don't mandate on this one? What would
I have mandate.
But just lastly, SG, what are the lessons to be learned by the incoming leadership in terms of how they manage their relationship? Thanks.
Must
oh, just lastly, Ngwati, this is the last. You will no longer be a full-time official. What will you be doing with your time?
I will be farming. Ngalwa.
Moz TV, Frelimo. Mike, this side.
Thank you very much. I was overtaken, but I'm very eager to know what time do you expect? I believe that you have voted already for the top six. What time do you expect the results, more or less, to come out, to be announced? Thanks.
No, can't.
Comrade SG, sorry to interrupt you one more time, but you've been nominated to be chairperson of the ANC. So like the current chairperson is doing in Parliament, will you also be using bouncers to get rid of people you don't like? I thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr.
Chunky, sharp.
Thank you,
okay,
sharp.
One puppet to another is easy. Thanks, bye.
Difficult to follow that. Richard Callan, long-time columnist for the Mail and Guardian. You've put a lot of emphasis on the branches and branch autonomy and independence and all of that in recent months. Here are the branches and their representatives, but your organization seems determined to stop us, the media and columnists and analysts, from talking to them. Are you comfortable with that? Is it really healthy for the organization, its media relations? And I can remember back in the day of Mafeking and Polokwane and certainly Stellenbosch, where one could wander around and talk freely with delegates. And that seemed to be a happier day for both sides. Do you think it's time to revisit this paranoia?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, let me start with the last two. What is it?
No. Chester was just complimenting you. Don't answer him. He's wishing you to be the speaker of the National Assembly.
No. He asked if I would use bouncers. if I ever become a speaker, I may use soldiers. How do you like that, Chester? Yeah? Bring the whole army into Parliament and deal with people who are giving us problems. Would you like that? Yeah. So we're talking about an unlikely event of me becoming the speaker, you know. It's an unlikely event. That's the first thing you must consider. I'm not a government person. I'm a party political activist. All my life. So it will be difficult for me to adjust to that life first, let alone accessing the bouncers. I will have to adjust myself to that life at the late age. It's going to be difficult. Media speaking freely to delegates. Look at this scenario of we have a conference and then it becomes a festival of journalists talking to press delegates. And then allow press delegates to have the debates they are having in plenary with journalists. Let me tell you how that normally destroys the essence of conversation. Sometimes many of the journalists they phone me and say, branches in this area say this, what do you say? I normally give a standard answer. They took their grievance to you to convey to me. Are you a postbox? No, I'm not a postbox. Now, why do you want me to respond to something that has not arrived in my office, that has been planted in a journalist and come to me? If you allow that in a conference, it's a formula for collapsing the conference. Let me give you an example. You know, during the National Policy Conference, many people ran to this center and gave informal briefings to the journalists. It contaminated the policy conference from time to time. Seriously contaminated the policy conference, because before we discuss issues there, it is already on the floor of conference. Joel did this, and so on. And that is the danger to the conference itself of just having a free-for-all access to the delegates. Communication should be structured and be regulated so that it gives you results. It's not a question of just talking to one another. It is about engaging on a communication. If you add your own issues, add them. But the intention can never be to allow a free-for-all. When we give you official communication, you say, no, that is not true because delegates so X, Y, and Z. Half the time, those delegates will give you what is an input to a debate in conference and will be giving you the result of the discussion. By the time we give you the result of the discussion, you'll be stuck with the input of individual delegates in the debate in conference. So just imagine the risk of that to the conference itself. Let's leave that. When do you expect the results of the top six? I'm not in the Electoral Commission. I'm a candidate, by the way. Now, the disadvantage of being a candidate is that you don't access even the electoral area, because if you are seen close to that area, they can suspect that you're trying to manipulate the result. So I can't answer that question. Okay, when to expect the results of the top six? Electoral Commission will tell us when they are ready and give the results. And I'm sure Zizi will send a word to you that results are going to be announced now.
Yeah.
That's how it works. And the reason for that is that we don't want to be in charge of a process that determines our own fate. Allow it to go its course. If you are fired, you are fired. That's it. That's how it is. At what point did the relationship break down? Lessons for the new leadership. I can answer that because your question, Ngalwa, head of the Daily Dispatch, is that it assumes that leaders of the ANC could keep diaries about their relationship. We don't do that. We disagree on this, we move on, we agree on 10 other things, we move on, we disagree on another issue, we move on. We don't compile a diary of disagreements. So I can't say at this point there was a breakdown. No, there's no such. We have come to this conference, handed over as outgoing leaders of the ANC, both myself and President Zuma. That's what we've done here. And I can tell you, because of the negative narrative that has been thrown at President Zuma, one thing that you will never appreciate, we appreciate it better, is the deep knowledge of the man about the ANC. Okay? And that's what we're about when we're in the party organizational processes. Deep understanding of ANC experience, history, and a person being a repository of many issues that happened to the ANC, including anecdotes about particular milestones in the ANC. That is the part that is hidden to the public, because it is not, it doesn't make news. And one time I was talking to one of the senior political reporters of a newspaper. I said to them, you know, the problem is that you don't understand between the work you're doing and the work I'm doing. You're selling news, I'm running a party. It's not the same. Now, at that point, you will not understand the positive aspects and the experience you derive in working with President Zuma at an individual level. I tell people all the time that the 10 years in the ANC has improved my knowledge and understanding that no university can ever give me that knowledge, that experience. That means you can take me on to Harvard or on to Oxford. They will not give me the experience and the learning I went through in the ANC for 10 years. It's practical. And actually, next year, I will be writing a book. Any of you can offer to be a writer, come for interview. I will have to interview you and say, write, what's your view on this? What is your ideological outlook? No, 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 you are contaminating my book. Get out of the way, so on. Because working in that collective with President Zuma at the head gave me a lot of experiences, okay? And those experiences, I don't focus on negatives. I put a lot of emphasis on the positives because they make my life better. And the lesson for the new leadership is that when you are leadership, when you throw your hands in the air because there are problems, you are giving yourself a luxury you do not have. Don't have time to throw your hands in the air. Confront the issue, engage, have tense meetings, go through them, take decisions and move on. Get criticized for not doing X, Y, and Z. Who has been my biggest challenge? I've answered the question of whether President Zuma inspired us in whatever way. One of the things you will know is that you can have all the problems with President Zuma, but you will not have a problem of the ability to talk to the masses of our people. Even when there's a problem, if you throw him into a meeting with the masses of the people, then it changes. And that is a rare gift. Sometimes you can be intellectual and lose that aspect of work, very critical for the ANC. So the point I'm making is that when you say who has been my biggest challenge, my biggest challenge is people who do not engage in the organization take us to court. That is my biggest challenge. I want people to engage the ANC. The ANC must fail to resolve the issue, and people must have the right to take us to court. But when people use courts as the point of grievance of first instance, that is the biggest frustration. And it takes me to the first question, that those who take the ANC to court, what is the way forward? Actually, there's a big debate in the ANC that what do you do if people take the ANC to court? You can't have one answer. There are people who do everything and anything that should be done internally and get frustrated at the end of the day, take the ANC to court. When it comes to me, I grant them that right. If we don't resolve their problem, they can go to court. Those who rush to court, we should be able to deal with those situations. And sometimes it is them who take us to court, sometimes it is us who frustrate them to court. And that's what we should consider all the time. The way forward is listen to the problems of the members, address them, resolve them. If you do that, there will be fewer cases that end up in court. That's it.
Thank you very much. That brings us to an end. Before I allow SG to take selfies, because that will be the bonus. Somebody's making noise.
No.
Somebody's making noise this side. Please, I'm not taking any further hands. I just want to, again, members of the media, to thank you for the mutual respect the Secretary General has enjoyed over a period. I trust that you'll do the same of whoever is a new spokesperson in the SG. Accord them a responsibility of mutual respect, but at the same time, give them the tough time you have given us as well. But once more, I'm certain that you'll miss a name called Kwete Mandaji.